The story takes place at a Walmart parking lot. I'm here this morning because I wanted to hear the origin story behind this pretty remarkable collaboration I've been following between university biologists, city engineers, Walmart stores, the Utah Conservation Corps, a family of beavers, and Dan Miller. Dan Miller co-founded the Bear River Watershed Council, a nonprofit conservation group. This all started when Dan was doing what nonprofit conservation group board members do. He was volunteering at a community event.
A lot of young children come in, and we had a little activity where the kids could make little beaver tails and then tie it to themselves. And then we had a stuffed beaver there that they could pet, and they could see we had some trees that had been gnawed through. And for me, it was just a crazy day. I mean, it never stopped. Groups of kids after groups of kids. And when I finally had to take a break and just pull myself away, I walked over to another booth that they were painting little small rocks as beaver. And it's, same kind of thing. And so I started talking to the person behind that booth, and it was Cammy from Walmart. And we're just talking about beaver, and she goes, well, you know, I'm kind of sad because we have beaver on our property, and the previous manager hired trappers to come in and kill them. And my jaw just dropped. It's like, what?
Cammy Hipwell is the store manager at the South Logan Walmart Supercenter. A small tributary of the Logan River called Spring Creek runs through the parking lot of Cammy's store, and there's essentially an untouched little wetland area in the corner of what can only be described as the most un-wetland place on Earth. And it's home to a thriving beaver pond complex.
I had been studying and reading up on beaver and how they benefit watersheds. And so I knew there were different ways to deal with beaver. And I told Cammy this. I go, there's better ways. You don't have to be exterminating them.
And Dan Miller knew who to call. A team of researchers at Utah State University's Department of Watershed Sciences who specialize in helping people and companies like Walmart live with beaver.
My name's Elijah Portugal, and I'm a geomorphologist with the Fluvial Habitat Center at Utah State University. And I do a variety of work, mostly related to beaver. So we, you know, design, plan, and implement beaver-assisted restoration projects.
So this is your first Walmart job?
This is my first Walmart job. I never thought I'd be spending as much time as I have down here at Walmart, But yeah, they've been great. We've been very, very happy to be working with these guys, and just feel really good about the fact that they are interested in trying to do a more progressive form of beaver management.
When Elijah Portugal and his team work with clients like Walmart, they start at the beginning. They actually have a flowchart called "So You Think You Have a Beaver Problem." It's not actually called that, but they do have a flowchart. For Elijah, it's important to know if the, quote, beaver problem is an actual problem or a perceived problem.
You know, you start out up here saying, okay, is this dam actually causing harm? If it's not causing harm, then you ask, does it have the potential to cause harm in the future? And if the answer is no, then you just say, you just leave it alone, and you kind of exit this conceptual figure here.
You still get paid.
So if a dam is actually causing harm, and that harm is typically flooding, or backing water up into a culvert, or somewhere where it shouldn't go. So then you ask, can those dam impacts be mitigated in some kind of way?
In Walmart's case, the beaver dams are causing harm. They're working on chewing down some pretty big trees that could fall on cars in the parking lot, and the stream backs up behind the beaver dams and floods the parking lot and potentially a busy state highway next to it.
So earlier, let's see, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, this dam, the largest dam in the dam complex, was really high. The beaver had built it up to probably a meter and a half to almost 2 meters tall. And when it was at that tallest height, it backed water all the way up through this area here. I'm kind of pointing over to part of the wetland area that is not actually underwater right now, but that pond extent was a little bit too big. So that was basically when the city decided that they needed to notch that one big dam because the pond was just getting too big.
Until Elijah's team got involved, the problem was being dealt with by the city of Logan periodically destroying the beavers and their dams. But the beavers just kept coming back.
This area, yeah, it's been great beaver habitat for thousands of years, and it still is now, obviously. I know that Walmart, over the 6 or 7 years that they've been here, they've had to have beaver trapped out of here at least 3 or 4 times. It might be more like 6 times. I'm not exactly sure about that. But yeah, there's no reason to expect that beaver will not continue to use this area. You know, it's connected to the Logan River, so they have access moving upstream, you know, up the Logan and then up Spring Creek here.
Elijah's proposed beaver management plan has a couple of strategies for balancing the needs of Walmart, the city, and the beavers to protect habitat while also protecting public and private property. And the plan isn't terribly complicated. The most high-tech part of the solution is installing something called a pond leveler.
It's a simple solution. You just put a tube through the dam at the level that you want it, and then you protect the tube so the beavers can't plug it up.
So basically it makes the dam permeable. So the dam stays?
The dam stays.
But the water goes through it.
Right, at a certain level that it's been determined from the survey that Elijah had provided.
Dan Miller gets it, and he's the conservation guy, remember, not the fluvial geomorphologist. Elijah Portugal's team wants to make beaver management plans that are based on common sense and easy to follow. One of the components of the Walmart plan, for instance, is to put a giant ruler in the pond so anyone can go out and see if the pond leveler is working.
And so that should be a pretty simple, kind of straightforward way to do that monitoring.
That would be such a great job for when they come get the carts.
You know? Yeah, right.
Like for the kid who comes and picks up the carts. While you're out there, go look at the ruler.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Where is the water on the ruler? Is it at the red line yet, or is it approaching the red line? I mean, that's... Really, that's the way to get these kind of management plans to work, is you got to make it just easy for people to do.
Trying to get rid of the beavers entirely is expensive, exhausting, and pretty much fruitless. But adaptive beaver management, or living with beaver, has benefits to water quality and habitat for a host of other animals.
You know, they can cause problems, and, you know, certain times of year, if you were to walk out here and just look around, you'd be like, oh, they're just making a mess, you know, but that mess is really what rivers need to be functional. You know, it really, the messiness matters. You know, the more water that we can retain in wetland areas like this through beaver dams, the more benefits we're going to have to other critters, you know, so birds, other muskrats like the one we just saw, amphibians, reptiles. The riparian area itself benefits a lot from these elevated water levels. And then just from our human perspective, we benefit from having more fresh water maintained in wetland areas and higher up in small streams like this throughout the year, because that water retention is really important for maintaining good water temperature, as well as just providing more fresh water higher up in the watershed.
I tell Elijah that I don't know if humans actually learned to build dams from beavers, but it does seem like they serve a similar purpose. I like the idea that we may have been inspired by beavers when we started messing with our river systems to benefit our settlements.
It's true, and really, they do it a lot better than we do. And a dam like Glen Canyon Dam obviously serves a really different purpose than a bunch of small beaver dams, but really, you know, by having a lot of beavers in watersheds in the small streams within the headwaters portions of those watersheds, basically the more water that we can retain up there, that means the more water we're going to have further down in the watershed later on. And their dams are not completely impermeable. Beaver dams in most places really don't seem to block fish passage. So that's a huge problem with conventional man-made dams, is the fish passage issue. And beaver dams don't really seem to have the same problems. And that's mainly because, you know, they're made out of mud and sticks, and they're never completely impervious. So small fish can wriggle through, and during high flows, bigger fish can jump up and over dams or go around them when there's water flowing out around the dams onto the floodplain. And we've shown that really definitively in a few different places where we've been working with beaver to do restoration.
This is the big picture. This is why Elijah Portugal spends his days studying beavers and writing up adaptive beaver management plans for places like Walmart.
But yeah, in this era of drought in the West, I think a lot more water managers are starting to think about the role that beaver have played historically and can play now in helping to mitigate against some of these drought problems that we're having and that we will likely to continue to have in the future as we move forward with climate change.
Dan Miller of the Beaver Watershed Council is also a proponent of larger scale beaver reintroduction and adaptive management throughout the West. But he's especially keen on keeping the beavers here, in the South Logan Walmart Superstore parking lot. And he wants the project to include some interpretive signs for customers and visitors, especially the RV campers that are allowed to park here overnight in this corner of the parking lot.
It was fate that I bumped into the Walmart manager, and I was just open and listening, and I was glad I could be there, and it's exciting.